celebrate those that are joining us. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for all those that are joining us today. We bless you. Thank you for joining in. And we give you praise. We get reports every now and then of folk in different places that just hear Jesus. And what's beautiful, it doesn't matter who's given the message, it's the message. It's not the person, it's the message. It's Jesus' message. And Jesus' message sets people free. And I just love that about him, don't you? Now, this is about joy is our birthright. And I picked on joy because, and actually it means the fruit of the Spirit. Because joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, the fruit of the Spirit is a beautiful expression. There's a number of expressions in the fruit of the Spirit, but it's singular, not plural. You understand that, right? And you say, well, why is that? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is really Jesus. It's really the Holy Spirit in us. And the fruit of the Spirit is an expression. You recognize it's singular, but it's an expression of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus in us and through us. That's what Jesus looks like when he's manifesting in your life. Isn't that great? I love that about him. Now, it's a difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the flesh. We got to recognize that. If you see the flesh, you say, that's Papa T, that's Tim. If you see the fruit of the Spirit, you say, that's Jesus in him. You understand that? That's the way he loves to operate. We get out of the way and let Jesus be Jesus. Amen. And why is it? Because the Word's true. The Word is a greater reality than this level of life. As a matter of fact, this is what we're supposed to do. We live at this level on earth, but we're not limited here. The rest of the world is. We're not. You know what? We have a bridge. We have hope. Hope gives us the picture in our heart. What does a selfie in your heart look like? What does your selfie look like? If it looks like a victim, it's the wrong picture. Because when you look in the mirror of this word, you're not a victim, you're a victor. You're an overcomer, more than conqueror. That's how Jesus sees you. That's what God says about you in his word. And so we look in this mirror to see what we really look like. And you know what? Our heart is to capture that, to agree with it. And you know what? We're to receive that picture in our heart. And so that's what, when you get that picture in your heart, that's the power of the word of God to transform your heart. You go from wrong believing about you to right believing about you. That makes a difference. I'm telling you, when you believe right, you're going to act right. A whole lot more of the time. Hey, when you believe right, you're going to think right. A whole lot more of the time. As a matter of fact, you've heard me say this, that a lot of times our storms or our failures will reveal the lie that we've been believing. That's why we got to be continually in this word, because this word will transform, will reprogram your computer to see yourself as God sees you. Greater power, because he's in us. Greater reality, because the word of God is true. Very available. These promises are very available because the promise keeper himself is present right here. Is that great news? I'm telling you, that's gospel. It's overcoming victory in the right now, present, year, date, time. And it doesn't matter when you're listening to this. It's for now. And that's the beautiful Jesus that we know. And that he wants to make himself known to you. He wants to reveal Father to you. And that these promises are true for you. He paid the price for that. And so we can have joy unspeakable and full of God's glory. Joy is our birthright. Even in the midst of trials that we face on this level, we can, by faith, the faith is the bridge to receive the joy of Jesus to come back to this level. And so we're not limited by this world. We're citizens of heaven. And we have a birthright. We have a guarantee, and his name is Jesus. And the faith is the bridge to go from here to here to back here. Isn't that great? Well, the Lord's provided of that. Our joy is independent of our circumstances. And so that's why that we can rejoice in the Lord by faith, by feeling, no, by faith. We can rejoice in the Lord when things don't go our way. That's what Bible says. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit right quick, Galatians 5:22. You have it in your notes, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit The work which his presence within accomplishes. I love the way the Amplified brings that out. Because it's not you or me grunting to work it and make it happen. Man, trees don't grunt to produce fruit. I'm telling you, it's life in them. The life comes up through the roots, up through the trunk. The vine produces fruit. You know what we are? We are receivers, not achievers. We're receivers of the fruit. And the fruit is manifest. His Holy Spirit presence accomplishes. Hey, what does it look like? Love. Not human love, divine love. Not human joy. That's for the moment. It's divine joy that's deeper than emotion. I love that. Peace. Peace, even in the midst of a storm. You say, well, that's not real. No, it's a greater reality. It's not human real. It's divine real. But we have an advantage of the world. The world don't get to experience this. You can if you know Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus and you try to operate the Christian life and copy the fruit of the Spirit, you're frustrated, you're miserable, you're wore out. But I'm telling you, when you have Jesus in you, and we have to learn, it's a learning process, am I right? It's a learning process for me to get out of the way, to submit to the Lord, to surrender to the Lord, not try to do it by my flesh or by my works, but to let Jesus be Jesus in us. He produces the fruit. The branch receives the fruit from vine life. Isn't that great? He's the life source. It's not by our own strength. It's by Him. It's not by Tim's might or by Tim's power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not only for Tim, but for you. Peace, patience, kindness. How about kindness? I want to tell you, kindness is a manifestation of Jesus. I want to tell you, He showed amazing kindness in a generation to people that the vast majority of the public rejected. He showed kindness because that's Him. Hey, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I want to tell you how powerful faithfulness is. He allows you to do what's not naturally true about you. It's His faithfulness. I'm telling you, where you're not able to be diligent on your own, you know, there's those areas of your life. I know that there's people that, man, look like they got all their stuff together. Man, they got, oh my goodness. You look at them and say, I need that. Well, I want to tell you, there's usually an area of their life that's not public, where there's gaps. But I'm telling you, the good news is when you focus on the faithfulness of God, when you focus on God and the faithfulness of God, I want to tell you what Abraham's Sarah would say, because the Bible says there in Hebrews that when she focused on the faithfulness of God, it sparked faith in her. Isn't that great? For the impossible. Does that sound like what heaven's got in mind for you? Well, it's a fruit of the Spirit that comes out. It's not something we work up, not something we pull up by our own bootstraps. I heard that preached one time. But I want to tell you, it's gentleness, self-control. You know what self-control means? Hey, that there's breaks. The Lord can use you to put the brakes on emotions. The Lord can help you put the brakes on addictions. The Lord can help you put the brakes on appetites. Do you see that? The Lord can help you put the brakes on, hey, self-control over the type of thinking and attitudes that have entrapped you all of your life. You know the cycle, the destructive cycle. I'm telling you, the manifestation of Jesus in your life will help you put the brakes on that. Wow. Against such things there is no law. You know why? Because it's all based on the love of Jesus. And those who belong to Christ, is there anybody here that belongs to Christ Jesus? Well, I want to tell you, a regular, continual practice way of operation for a Christian is to have crucified the flesh. It means you say yes to Him and no to you. And I want to tell you, you know, it's kind of like people have said, well, why don't you just cast out the flesh? No. The flesh is here. The flesh will be with you as long as you're on this earth in this body. And I want to tell you what the flesh does. All right, you say, well, is there a purpose? I want to tell you, it's an enemy. You got to see it as an enemy. But I want to tell you, there's a purpose in that. Just like the Lord, when he walked them into the promised land, he said, I'm not driving out all the enemy at once. You know why? Because you got to learn to walk in victory. And I want to tell you what the flesh does. It causes you to need God every day. It gives you fresh opportunity to say no to you, crucify the flesh, and say yes to the Spirit. And I want to tell you what happens when we say yes to the Spirit, and by cold-blooded obedience, we operate in what God says, we obey God. We do what God says instead of what flesh wants or flesh desires, right? Then I want to tell you, it's on. And we see the supernatural power of God manifested in ways that we could never, ever do on our own. Now that's the advantage, because we have him in us right here. That's possible for every single believer. You know why? Because he dwells in us. I want to tell you, you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, that's why you come to church. That's why you're in the Word, because we have a Holy Spirit helper that will help you personally apply these truths to your life. He loves to do that, and he's very good at it. And so, it's by the Holy Spirit that we have our life in God. Let us go forward, walking in light, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. And so this is when we say yes to the Spirit. We operate by the Spirit, not the flesh. It's on. God does it. But we have a chooser, and we get to use our chooser every day. I was sharing with the teens a few weeks ago, and I was talking to them about the principle, the powerful principle in life of yielding our rights. And I want to tell you, it comes down to this sometimes. Sometimes we have, as humans, because it's promoted by this culture, by human culture, that you know what? You have a right. You deserve to be right. You have a right to be right. I want to tell you something that this man sitting on the front row when he was a teenager, I'm not even saying you remember this. There was a situation between you and your dad. And sometimes in siblings' life, in family life, if nobody confesses who did it, sometimes there's an assumption that it's Stephen that did it. And I want to tell you, in this situation, and I'm just confessing to you, I don't know if you remember this. He came to me and we were meeting about it, we prayed about it, I gave him a little counsel, and this is what came out of his mouth as a teenager. He said, he called me Brother Tim then. He said, Brother Tim, he said, I didn't do it. But I'm willing to be wrong in order for things to be right. Did you catch that? Now, I want to tell you what he did. He yielded his right to be right and somebody else to be wrong. That is a beautiful description of humbling yourself before God. Amen. I want to see, the world doesn't teach that. The world says you just need to protest. Huh? Yeah. You need to mark off a spot and have a spell about that. You need to demand your rights. But when he yielded, I want to tell you, I don't know if you remember this, the presence and the power of God came on his life in a beautiful way. And you know what? He had sweet testimonies for a period of time. He had sweet testimonies of the Lord showing himself favorable in his life. Now, who do you think that was? Was that Stephen or was that God? I want to tell you, the Lord promises when you humble yourself before God and man, he pours extra favor upon you. Now, that's something I know that the Word says, because it calls superabounding grace. I know from studying grace that we have more than enough from the cross. For everything and anything we'd ever face in this life, he's given us more grace. But somehow, some way, and I don't completely understand, but this is just like your Father, just like your God, that when we humble ourselves, he pours on even more on top of that. That's why the Greek explains it as superabounding grace and even more on top of that. Thayer brings that out. I want to tell you, it's beautiful. That's for you. That's for us. And so I want to tell you, when you capture that, you will look for every opportunity to humble yourself. Because you know great grace is on the way. God's favor is on the way. God's rescue is on the way. Somebody say amen. Amen. Helps me preach faster. Okay. And so here's the deal, believers. Are you going to wait for an emotion to show up? Are you going to be a person of the Word? Are you going to be a believer that believes? Are you going to be a person of the Word? Or are you going to be a person of emotion? Because the world operates on the emotional level. Believers operate on the faith level. It's not by sight, not by feeling, it's by faith. We walk by faith. The Bible and the promises, hey, I want to tell you, this truth is our basis of operation. Hey, not emotions, not easy circumstances. Okay, we walk by the Spirit of truth. What is God saying? What does God want? I want to tell you, sometimes it's cold-blooded obedience, but I want to tell you, He rewards us. Would you listen to me? He rewards us. You say in heaven? Yes, in heaven. But He rewards us right here in this journey with great favor. And I want to tell you, you want His favor. You want walking in and just absolutely surrounded and absolutely flooded by His favor. That's your Jesus. We submit and surrender our flesh. How do we do that? By yielding to God, saying yes to God and no to me. It's by focusing on God and not on me. If you focus on yourself, you've heard me say it, you're going to be a depressed person. You focus on other people, you're going to be offended. If you focus on God, you're going to be enriched. Amen. So we receive by believing. We walk step by step. We got to walk it out. I want to tell you, if this faith only stays, if your faith only stays in the Bible, if your faith only stays on the inside, it's not complete faith. It's faith in operation, but somehow, some way, we've stopped it. I want to tell you, we got to let go and let God fulfill His faith. All right, fulfill His faith in us. How does it? Well, by putting it into action. We speak it and we act it out. Even before we see the manifestation. All right, you practice the sacrifice of praise and you walk by faith through the gate of thanksgiving before the manifestation of joy and peace and love. We act it out. We put it into action. We confess it. We say it. We act on it. And guess what? Manifestation comes. Fruit expression of Jesus is manifested. It's made real to you. That's what manifested means. It's made real to you. We trust in Him. We depend on Him. Not humans. Don't depend on humans. Don't depend on your own flesh. You've done that before. And where did it get you? In more trouble, more mess. I want to just announce, your strength, I don't care how strong it is, it's not enough. You're going to come to a place somewhere in your journey where you say, I can't. That's good news. Because when you say, I can't, God says, I can't. Amen to the Lord on that. Hope, invisible to faith action, makes it visible. Invisible to the visible. Walking in the Spirit requires continual adjustment. I want to tell you, it was so precious when I was sharing with the teens a couple weeks ago about this principle of yielding your rights. I want to tell you, Kennedy caught it. Little Kennedy caught it. And this is what she said, because I shared and then I went around and said, what is the Lord showing you? What is the Lord saying to you? She said, I see it. I got it. It's an everyday choice. Man, I just overflowed with joy. Because can you imagine, would you listen to this? As a teenager, if she catches that everyday choice of yielding to the Lord, can you imagine the victories? Can you imagine the steering away from traps of the enemy? Can you imagine the overcoming that's going to be manifested in her life? Because there are people that have walked with God all their life that haven't caught that, somehow walked around it. Somehow said, well, it applies to other people, but not for me. But I want to tell you, there's a level of victory that you will never, ever walk in if you don't practice the crucifying of the flesh, the yielding of your rights to the Lord. But when you do, listen to me, my friend, it's on. The Lord will do it. He will move you into higher levels. So, it's a daily decision. It's yielding. It's surrender. It's decisions. It's choosing the chooser, your chooser, for the Word instead of the flesh or instead of circumstances. is Jesus first. That's how you hear people say, well, Jesus first, others second, you third. That's a good saying. But it don't happen unless you get you out of the way. Okay, you can't operate by your flesh with that. It won't last very long. It'll be only a convenient operation with you. 5 loaves and 2 fish. I want to tell you, it ought to say this. Listen to me about this. Multiplication happens with Jesus. I want you to look at this. This is in out of the NASB, New American Standard. Listen to this. Luke 9:16. And then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. I want to tell you, he saw it in heaven before he saw it in earth. He saw it in the invisible before he saw it in the visible. He blessed them and broke them. And look at this. I love the way it says this. And kept giving. Somebody say, kept giving. Kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. So this is the way I see it. Okay. And I love this because NASB brought this out. But this is kind of the way I'd meditated on it anyway. That, Jesus took that little boy's lunch and he broke it. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave thanks for it. He broke it up. He handed it to the disciples. The disciples went to thousands of people. And when they would run out from what he had given them, they came back to why? They came back to the source. They kept coming to the supply. Why do I think that happened? Because that's what we have to do. I'm telling you, it's called daily bread for a reason. Because we need them every day. Don't you dare think like the world, well, I got a week's worth. I got my retirement, bless God. No, you can't think like that. I want to tell you, if you think like that, you're going to miss. But I want to tell you how to make contact is to need them every day. And to recognize that you need them every day. And so the disciples, and this is the way I see it, okay, is that, you know, they would run out and they would go back to Jesus. Why? Jesus is our unlimited supply. That ought to speak to us. And they would refill and go and give and go and share and go and minister. And they run out, they come back to Jesus. Do you see that? Well, I'm telling you, that ought to be a picture for you because He's our El Shaddai. He's our more than enough. It means He's our unlimited supply. And I want to tell you, this flesh you wear every day, you got to yield every day. You got to walk in the Spirit every day. You got to choose her. Walk in the Spirit every day. And when you do that, the flesh world is weak. The flesh world is dead. It doesn't win. Anybody interested in that? You need them. Hey, listen, it's called daily bread. I want to tell you about daily bread. Let's go back and think about this. I'm not going to turn to it. It's about the manna. God gave manna in the wilderness. You know, it was an everyday gift except for one day. And one day it was given to last 2 days. But if they tried to gather so much to make it last 2 days without the word and direction of the Lord, do you know what? What they had selfishly brought together, their own plan, own desire, own will, do it their way. You know what? The manna would have worms in it. The manna would stink. When they did it on the day that God directed, it was blessed. He kept it. He protected it. Is anybody hearing anything in this? I want to tell you, when you try to do even the promises of God, the principles of God, your way, if you put self in the middle, guess what? You're going to stink it up. I'm just telling you. I'm living proof. I'm telling you, you'll stink it up. You try to do it God's way, and I hear people say this all the time with their testimony. Well, I'm messed up, but I had great desires. I had good plans. You know, I was doing it for the Lord. Nah. Back it up. You made foolish decisions. Somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit was probably whispering to you, and you said no to the Spirit. You said yes to you, or you said yes to other people. You were trusting in people and not in God. But I want to tell you what happened. You stunk it up. I want to tell you what happened. You got worms in it. Now, I don't care what you say. You can blame other people if you want to, but I want to tell you it comes back to you. You can't live your life blaming other people. You say, well, I didn't do that. Well, you were a participant somewhere along the line. I ate something yesterday. I'm trying to follow the direction of the Lord. This is for me, not for you. I don't put food rules. I'm not your food police. I don't put it on you. Something the Lord's doing in me. I'm limiting myself to one sweet a week. I ate a cookie yesterday about the size of a pie. It was so good, and I've been off of it for so long that it kind of made me sick by the end of the cookie. Now, I want to tell you, the beautiful blonde gave it to me. During the night, I was kind of complaining about the cookie. Lord, that woman. Does that sound familiar? Brought me that cookie. Now, I kind of, and you may not understand this. You don't have to believe it. I'm just telling you. I felt like the Lord kind of made a joke about it to me. I felt like He whispered to me, yeah, she held you down and you nearly choked her stuffing that cookie down your mouth. I said, oh Lord, that didn't happen. That was me. That wasn't her, that was me. I ate every bite. Are you listening? See, there's a tendency to blame other people for where you are or where you're not. I want to tell you what's powerful. For you to take response ability of where you are or where you're and say, God, I need you. Because when we yield it to God, guess what? He takes responsibility for what we yield to Him, and He's on it. The biggest thing is getting ourselves out of the way and letting God be God. But one of the things we got to do is to let go. Let go. That's the power of restoration. That's the power of forgiveness. When we let go. Now, sometimes we think, well, if I let go, what about everybody else? You know what Jesus said in that situation? He said to Peter, he said, what is that to you? He said, what about John? He said, what is that to you? Jesus is saying, what is that to you? It's about you right now. You're responsible for you. You're not responsible for other people and how they respond. Let me tell you what your responsibility is to say no to you, yes to Jesus. You know what confess means? It means to say with God. I've never told people not to confess their sins. It's good for you to agree with God about your sin. You're right, God. You're right. I'm wrong on this. That was a stinking attitude I had. You understand that? But I want to tell you the power of confession. It's to say what God says. It's important for you not only to confess your sin, say what God says about your sin. It's very, very important for you to say what God says about you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You say, yeah, but I just messed up. God says, who are we going to believe? We going to believe the enemy? It says, you rotten, no good, sorry. God's tired of you. God's away from you. God don't want to hear from you. That's all lies. The liar will lie to you. I want to tell you what the truth is. Jesus said, come on. You know what Jesus is saying? Your humanness doesn't offend me. I got compassion for your humanness. But you got to bring it to me to be free. Are you, anybody hearing this? Well, I want to tell you, when we bring it to Him, He takes it. And by His power, not by ours, but by His power, His grace, He removes even the very sourness of sin that wants to stick around. He's able to remove that. Does it always happen immediately? I want to tell you, it happens in the spiritual realm immediately because it's already paid for. Now, sometimes it takes a season for it to manifest in our soul and in our body and the outside life. But remember, inside life to outside life. But that's why we got to see ourselves as God sees us. So it goes from the invisible to the visible. Somebody say amen. If you say I got it, I'll move on. If not, I'm going to bring the train back around. That's what walking in the Spirit is. He wants you to continually lean on Him, continually trust in Him, continually receive of Him. That's walking in the Spirit. See, God's supply comes as by faith as you activate it. Now, I'm going to give you a couple examples. And it's okay if you don't catch all this, but I want to tell you it's absolutely been pictures that has transformed. It's rich to me. And it's my desire that you catch this. But it's simple. But we can miss it with our Western education, civilization. We can look past Jesus and try to focus on the pattern or the details or the the formula. But I want to tell you, let me just say this to you real quick. Jesus is your destination. Wait. But your destination is your journey with Jesus.
You can miss by focusing on, like, I just want a healing. All I need is a healing. Or all I need is a financial blessing. I just need provision. I just need a miracle of provision. I want to tell you, I tell people, don't just seek healing or don't just seek a miracle provision. Seek Him. When you see Him, when you connect with Him, He's your healer. He's your provider. He's the meter of every need. He's the unlimited supply. But let Him be the focus. Let Him be the one you esteem. Not His hand. Seek His heart. And I'm telling you, both His hands are around you. You have access to all that He is. But if you just seek His hand, you can miss. Okay, let me try to explain this to you. Because this is the way it kind of hit me. You remember Jesus healing the lepers? There was 10 of them. And He spoke the word of healing to them, and He gave them direction. Okay? Sometimes we want the healing without any direction. This is what Jesus told them. He said, go your way, show yourself to the priest, that there will be a confirmation and a testimony, but you go show yourself to the priest. And so I want to tell you, this is Tim talk, but I'm telling you, they didn't get healed immediately. Wait. As they went. Wait a minute. That's what the Bible says. As they were walking to the priest, you could hear the conversation. Well, I'm not healed yet. Well, He said to go. Well, you know, what are we going to do? We get there to the priest and we're not healed. I mean, but He said, this is what He said, and I believe what He said, so I'm going to the priest. It was on their way while they're walking, while they're going toward the priest, that they were healed. Hey, you know what? That's faith activated. They saw the picture in their heart. They agreed with His words. They said what Jesus said. They agreed with His words. And they followed His direction. But as they were following His direction, are you listening to me? They were healed on the journey. One came back. He said, I can't help it. I got to go give thanks. And one came back. Jesus said, where's the other nine? No, he came back. And he adored the Lord. He esteemed the Lord. Don't we teach that? He celebrated the Lord. His focus was on Jesus, the healer, not the healing. His focus was on Jesus. And Jesus said, He entered the gate of thanksgiving into the more of God. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus didn't just heal him. He was made whole. And what I believe about that, he got his nose back. He got his ears back. He got all of his fingers back. He was made whole. Well, do you want to be whole? I mean, in your soul, where things were robbed from you as a child, or the enemy stolen things in your journey. I want to tell you, Jesus, this is your Jesus. He's the God of restoration. He doesn't just want to heal you. He wants to make you whole to His honor and glory. Amen? Hey, for your good and His glory. That's all good. Okay. When Jesus turned water into wine, Cana of Galilee at the wedding, Mary told them. She knew something. She told them, hey, do what He says. What? Do we skip that? I want to tell you what's powerful. If you really believe, if you really love Him, because Jesus said, those that love me do what I say. So, do you love the Lord? Hear God and do what He says. If it makes sense to you or not, if you understand it or not, do what God says. And she told him, do what He says. And Jesus told him, fill it up with water. Fill those vessels up with water. Now, I want to tell you, man, can you see these guys? They're filling it up. Say, what are we going to do with this? I mean, you know, what are we supposed to do? And Jesus said, go give a sample of it to the master of ceremonies. They go, I don't want to do that. It's just water. But I want to tell you, as they were doing what He said, I think when they walked back by Jesus, hear this, I think the very presence, the majesty of Jesus, looked on the water, and the water was blushed into heaven wine. You see, Jesus does something that we can't do. But it's important for our heart to seek Him. And listen to me. Do what He says. Because it's faith in action where supernatural is manifested. Hey, Bible puts it like this. Faith without works is not complete faith. Faith without works is not finished faith. God wants to finish the manifestation of faith in your life. But it's going to require some cooperation on your part. And all the people said. Okay, do you see that? All right, you want another one? Okay, I'll give another one. You didn't ask for it. I'm going to tell you. The disciples, after the resurrection, even before, we know the time when Peter and the boat and Jesus ministered on his boat, and then he told them, go out a little ways and put the net over here. Peter said, no, it's not good timing, good time, good day, good place. But based on your word, I'll do it. I want to tell you, same thing happened. After the resurrection, the disciples had gone fishing, didn't have any direction or purpose. Let's go back to what we know. Let's go fishing. And they're on the fished all night, nothing. And you know what? The next morning, Jesus was on the shoreline and is the beach ministry. Come on. You know you like the beach ministry. Jesus is on the beach, has already caught fish. You know what I think he did? I think he told him, come on, boys, I need you. You're going to bring honor and glory to God today. I think the fish come running up on shore. Well, how do you think it happened? That's the way I dream it. I love to meditate on these things. But I want to tell you, the disciples showed up out there on the lake and they had caught nothing. They were weary. They were frustrated. They were discouraged. Does that sound familiar? I want to tell you what Jesus did. He gave them direction. Put the net over here on this side, boys. And you know what? That sounded familiar to them. John, the one that was focused on the love of Jesus, he recognized Jesus first. You know what? That happens. I want to tell you, those who walk in the love of Jesus, they have quicker recognition. He said it's the Master. And I want to tell you, when they dipped the net in, same thing. Fish come jumping in the net to the place. They couldn't even get in the boat. They had to drag it up on the shore. I want to tell you, it didn't happen until they dipped a net. I'm announcing something to you. The fish didn't jump on the boat. They had a part, activated faith, doing what he said. But in the activation of faith is when the supply was manifested. I hope you're seeing this. I want to tell you, this just fires me up. Okay, as they cast the net. Sometimes it seems to be a tad late, doesn't it? But you know what? Our part's to depend on Him. The fruit of the Spirit, listen to me, the fruit of the Spirit is manifested when we activate by faith. Because Jesus is our unlimited supply. It's easier to receive from Jesus what you're convinced is already yours. That's why you need this. Because if not, you'll say, the enemy will say, you know, you're just not good enough to receive that. You know, your report card's not good enough. You know, you're not a super Christian. There's no such thing. But I want to tell you, when you have saturated and reprogrammed your computer with this, you look and see in the mirror that, you know what? His provision is paid for. The fruit of the Spirit is mine. It's already in me. All I have to do is learn how to receive it and release it. Faith activated. Anybody listening? Same way. And it applies to any area. But that's why we got to be learners. We got to be people of discovery of how to apply this. And the Holy Spirit's there to help us with it. It's our birthright. I want to tell you, according to Jesus, according to these promises, we have unlimited provision. Well, why don't we see it? Well, our part is to practice. Hope, love, He loves us too much. Hope, we see it in our heart. He's our personal provider, unlimited. Faith, I believe. I receive, I act it out. However the Lord directs you to do that. Hey, He's our El Shaddai. God's not against money. Use it, don't let it use you. That's the big thing in Scripture. Okay? Same principle with daily bread. Hey, you know what's daily bread? Keep talking to Him. You know what? Keep talking to Him. Don't wait till the bill comes in. Keep talking to Him every day. Lord, I trust You. I depend on You. I declare in the name of Jesus, my finances are more than enough. Lord, I have more than enough to bless the saints. Bless family. Are you listening? And so we keep talking to Him and we walk step by step. He loves the interaction. He loves it when we depend on Him. He keeps giving. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall liberally supply. No, wait. Surely He didn't mean that, did He? No, my God will just give you barely enough. My God will not give you quite enough because He wants to hear you beg. No, that's not your Father. Jesus revealed Father. You know what, Paul? This is what He said. My God will liberally supply. That means fill to the full. Just some of my needs. No. He says every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not by my bank account, but by heaven's bank account. Well, when we forget that we're citizens of heaven, it becomes easy to be consumed by the cares and limitations of this earth. We become subject to the winds and waves when we're operating on this level. We can conform to the mold of the world and believe that our life is limited by circumstances. But when things don't go our way, then we get depressed, we get discouraged, and it's the Christian roller coaster. That's not the way we're supposed to live. If you do live that way, nobody's throwing a Bible at you. You know what? We're trying to give you good news. There's a better way. Would you listen to the Holy Spirit say to you, there's more for you to believe in. There's more for you to walk in. There's more for you to receive. Would you listen to Him on that? Hey, we face the same storms, but our response, because we're believers and have Christ in us and have the promises of the Word of God, we face the same storms as the rest of the world, but our response needs to be heavenly, not worldly. This is brought out, and I got a little time to share this, the way of living that King Solomon described in Ecclesiastes. And let me just say a quick word about Ecclesiastes, because I hurt a teacher's feelings in a church that I was preaching in, and he wanted me to come hear his lesson. And I'm listening to his lesson, and it's in Ecclesiastes, and he just said to me in front of the group, Mr. Evangelist, would you just give us a word on what you heard today, you know? I said, well, we got to keep in mind that Ecclesiastes was written by a King Solomon who was looking at the carnal world. He was looking at the human way of living. The wisest man in the world that had an amazing walk with God, and you see it in Song of Solomon, you see in Proverbs, godly wisdom. His heart had grown cold, and he was, well, it was because of the women in his life had turned his heart against God toward idols. If it can happen to him, can it happen to anybody? That's why we got to stay focused on God and not on the things of this world. But because he was focused on world living, carnal living, the way the flesh, the world, the humans operate, he had things to say that weren't very glad. They were pretty sad. Do I explain that? Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 2:11. And then I looked on all that my hands had done and labor that I had spent in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, a striving after the wind and a feeding on it, and there was no profit under the sun. Now see, this is a wisest man of the world that wasn't operating in fresh wisdom anymore. That's why I tell you, it needs to be fresh. You need fresh bread. It's not enough that you have Bible knowledge backed up for years. You got to have fresh bread with Jesus. Gives you clarity of vision, wisdom, fresh wisdom, fresh bread, rhema. And so, life under the sun is the way he said it. A life under the sun where we're consumed by earthly cares. That's the way the normal humans live. Life under the sun, would you listen to me? Because he's saying it. Life under the sun leads to despair and hopelessness, and that's where he was. That's where we get when we just live at this level under the sun. It's like regular humans. Instead, God has a better way for us. A way that produces unshakable peace and joy, and is found in the revelation of Jesus. This is why I tell you, focus on God and the Word.
See Jesus in the Word, because it's the revelation of Jesus in the Word that shows you who you are in Him. It's the revelation of Jesus in the Word, the fresh bread of Jesus in the Word that transforms your life, changes your life, gives you eyes of wisdom, clarity, understanding, revelation. 1 Peter 1:7. Thank you for listening. I got to finish a little bit here. I'm fixing to wrap up, so stay with me. This verse we've covered just about every time we've preached on this series. 1 Peter 1:7. So the genuineness of your faith may be tested, may be proved, so you'll know how to use it, which is infinitely more precious than perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. You see, it's faith expressed. When faith goes from in here, because this is where hope starts. When faith goes from in here to speaking here and acting it out here, that's where action takes place. That's where the supernatural is manifested. Faith expressed into action. You know what you'll see? Faith is a weapon of warfare. It's your shield of faith. Attack's coming. Faith. Shield of faith. Those arrows are bouncing off. They don't have to hit you. Okay? Sometimes we don't cry out to God till we're full of arrows. Well, I'm not discouraging you. I mean, if you're there, call upon the name of the Lord, because He will rescue and He'll heal you. But I want to tell you, there's a better way. He's saying, I've given you a shield of faith. That junk comes, man, hold up by faith your shield of faith, they'll bounce off. Anybody like that idea? The proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory. I want to tell you, it's for your good. You'll be celebrated forever and ever and ever. Every time you exercise faith, you'll be celebrated not in, just in heaven forever and ever, but right near in the right here in the nasty now and now, you'll be celebrated by God. Is that good news? Well, and it says, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's what Psalm 91:16 says, the last verse. It says that you will see the salvation of God. Now, I want to tell you what that word, with long life I will satisfy Him. You know why? Because you're going to have a fulfilled life. We see long lives that are miserable. That's not God's best. I'm telling you, the way of God, the way of faith is that you'll have a long life that's fulfilled in Jesus because you're satisfied in Him. And you know what He's promised? That you will, He will continually show you salvation. Now I want to tell you what that word breaks down to in Hebrew. It's beautiful. You know what it says? Yeshua. Yeshua. You know who Yeshua is? It's Jesus. That's the name for Jesus. He'll continually show you Jesus, fresh revelation of Jesus your whole life. That's the joy of the adventure, is getting to see Jesus in the Word, in your life. So God wants us to live a prominent, peaceful, deeply loved, overflowing, joyous, and victorious life by living our lives set on things above. Hey, here it is right here. This is what I would want to tell Solomon at that stage. A life centered on the S-O-N is not limited by life under the S-U-N. A life centered on the Son is not limited by life under the Son. Don't be conformed by the world under the S-U-N. There's a better way, by being transformed by the renewing of our mind with the S-O-N. He's our victory. Somebody give a shout. All right, amen. All right, I'm wrapping this. We'll pick up next week. And we're actually going to finish this series next week. And I got more to preach. I got stuff that the blondes typed on this series, and I could probably preach on this for life. But I want to tell you, on Resurrection Sunday, special day, Pastor D is going to be here. The Beans are going to be here. It's a special day, and it'll give me opportunity to finish the series that I know must be important, because I've been working on it for about a year, and I haven't finished yet. I got to get it down. And in my writing, this beautiful blonde has to have the gift of interpretation to even read it. And be honest with you, it comes out a little better when she types it. She puts in stuff that helps me make it clear. But I want to tell you something. It's very important to me. I've worked on it a long time. And I promise you, it's probably not going to be a short series, but I think it'll be dynamic. But we're going to try to wrap this up next week.
And I need you to be here. I need you to be a seeker. I need you to be someone who takes these scriptures and these principles and you seek the Lord and allow the Lord to set you free. Because it's when His Word is applied that it sets you free. If it stays in this Bible, it's powerful, but it's not going to set you free. If it stays in your mind, it's powerful, but it's not going to set you free. It's got to go from here to here. This Bible is written to your heart. That means you got to embrace it. You got to give allegiance to it. You got to say yes to it. You got to make it you with your name on it. Personal. And the Holy Spirit will help you apply that. Is that great news? Let's give the Lord praise. He's our victory. He's our overcoming. Amen. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for people that love your word. Thank you for people that are studious of you. They want to focus on you in the word. They want to see you. Lord Jesus, I give you praise that by the power of your spirit, you take this logos and you make it rhema, you make it fresh bread, you make it a right now word for our life today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you don't just leave us, but you give us personal direction with our helper, Holy Spirit, how to apply this to our life in the right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we rely and depend on you, and you're the one that shows yourself mighty in our behalf. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Give him an offering of clap. An offering of clap.